as I preach in your hearing once again how to overcome temptation. One of the biggest problems that you will have in life as a young Christian and as a Christian in general is the problem of temptation. And so we're dealing with this at length in a way that I don't think has ever been dealt with before. And so we're not just talking about temptations in general, we're talking about specific temptations and how you need to deal with them biblically. And so let's read our foundational passage that we started out with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Pardon me. And that's one of the reasons why you need to be honest about your temptations. At least we have people who are not honest about their sins in the church and in their families, so-called Christian families, but things have gotten worse. We have people now who are not honest about their temptations. Somebody told them that they ought not to even be tempted with things like that anymore. And that is insane. Till the day you die, you will be tempted. We all have our tree of that we are going to be tempted with, that we should not touch. God in his wisdom has allowed that still to this day, from the Garden of Eden until now. We are all tempted with something. Thank God we're not all tempted with everything. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, the word of God is true, but if you were to tell the truth and I was to tell the truth, we've had some temptation where it seemed like we were not going to make it. Now, God brought us through. But man, it was rough. I was in a grocery store the other day, and minding my business, trying to get in there and get out of there. There's certain things I want to pick up that I have to have, and it's got to be right. And I can't depend on my wife to get it. Sometimes I'll let one of my children get it, and they'll get it right. Sometimes they won't. But certain things, like certain meats and fish, stuff like that, has got to be right. I got to see it. And so I was in the grocery store, and this beautiful woman was walking in front of me after I turned a corner, and she was very attractive. And I said, "Get away from me, devil." I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And by the grace of God, God gave me the grace to turn my head and look inside one of the little glass where they enclose certain foods. And God got me up out of there. Extraordinarily beautiful. And then she did something that really, the devil was really putting the heat on me. That's the only temptation I have. I'm not tempted with money. I'm not tempted with drunkenness. I'm not tempted with pride and lying and none of that stuff. But I have been tempted since I have been saved with beautiful, fine, fat, P-H-A-T women. And if I was trying to continue to, if I was trying to do that, I wouldn't tell you that. If I had something going on, I wouldn't tell you that. But I've learned a long time ago is better to tell the truth about yourself. And God will use you to help some other people to stop lying and be honest as well. I am afraid of people who lie about being tempted. They say, oh no, I'm not tempted. I've never been tempted. You're a liar to hell. If you're saved, you're a liar. I ask people on purpose sometimes, what are you tempted with? Oh, I'm not tempted with anything. You're a liar. I got these preachers who say, you know, well, when you get to a certain age and Lord, you're just not as tempted. You're not tempted at things like that anymore. Those things don't bother me. I don't have any temptation. You're a liar. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Some of us, we've been all the way back down to the ground, but God kept us from touching the ground like the Matrix. The temptation would come and we dodge and you're moving. Woo! Like the Matrix, man. All day long. All day long, man. And the more you're serving God, the more you're doing for God with a pure heart, doing it for the right reasons, the more temptations are going to come. And they can come very powerfully. So I'm here to help you with that. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So therefore, we don't have an excuse. And then I want you to look at a verse that we've been dealing with for the past 3 weeks. If you have not figured it out yet, I preach so much that for years I preached 3 points. I love the 3-point sermon. I believe it's, if you will, I believe it's of God. And the 3 points in a poem kind of a deal. I love it. I love it. It makes sense. And people can get their head around it. And their mind around it. People, preachers who drone on, go on and on and on. And, you know, I like to get something and run with it. Well, there's a new thing, pretty new thing now, called the 1-point sermon. And since I preach every day, I can dig down deep on 1 point. It's still a 3-point sermon, or maybe a 5-point sermon, 6-point sermon, whatever. But I deal with 1 point a day. And I love it. I love it because I can dig down deep. I still preach just as long because I'm digging down deeper. Now turn in your Bibles now, if you have a paper Bible, saved Bible. May God bless you. The paper Bible saved people. Well, we thank God for you. But I'm not mad at you if you have a digital Bible. Proverbs 23. I always have the paper Bible, Old King James, in the pulpit with me, always. But I also have the digital Bible too, right there. There's nothing like the Kindle. There's nothing like the Kindle. Some paper Bible only people are saying, you ought not to use a digital device because you look at other ungodly things on the digital device. I say that you ought not to be looking at anything ungodly and evil on the digital device. And if you do, ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. There's nothing wrong with the device. There's something wrong with you. Get your heart right. Proverbs 23 verses 17 and 18. Let not thine heart envy sinners. This is what we tell our children, teenagers. Don't envy your peers. Don't yield to peer pressure. Stop trying to be like the world. That's what God tells us here. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Because people grow up and become adults, and they envy other people and be jealous of other people and try to be like the Joneses and the Smiths and the Johnsons for no reason, no good reason. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Keep your mind on God. Stop worrying about what other people are doing. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. The truth of the matter is, this series, particularly in this day and time, can set a whole lot of you people free, because you spend all your time on social media. Some of you should not even sit in front of a computer, because you waste your life looking at other people. You may be seated. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, because you know how I get to going. You be standing up the whole sermon. I be done forgot about you. Some of you should not have a device, because you can't control yourself. You waste your life looking at who has on what, why you can't afford it, why did she get that man, why did he get that woman. Ooh, she is so fine. I wish I had her. You don't need it. People who need a computer and devices are people who get things done. You work on that bad boy. You win souls with it. You witness to people with it. You preach the gospel through it. You get some work done by it. You make some money with it. Man, that's what you use computers and devices for in social media. Not to be ooh and gah and ooh and ah and at people and what they do. They making money off of you. I don't know why you have not figured that out. They make millions. Online newspapers all across the spectrum of the internet. They bring up certain women who wear on purpose every day some outfit. Why? For you look at it and they put it right there in front of you. If you want to dress up like Kim Kardashian and look like Kim Kardashian, you need to wear this. It costs $788. Go get it. You almost kill yourself getting out of the house and go try to find it before somebody else does. They make millions, they make billions off of people like you. Go get this hair piece. Get this lipstick. Get something to shave your skin off. And there you go. You got everything in there. You still don't look like him. Never will look like him. You need to quit and start trying to look like him, Christ. Not Kim, later for Kim, look like Christ. You'll be very beautiful if you strive to be like Christ. Not like Mike, like Christ, my dear friends. Really, some of you need to cut off the TV as well, because you're depressed. That's why we have so many depressed people. You're envious of other people, and there's no way you can do what they're doing. You can't be in St. Bart's on Monday, Hawaii on Tuesday, in the mountains of California on Wednesday, in Tahiti on Thursday. They do this stuff on purpose just to drive up the envy and to make you buy what they are buying and to go where they're going. You need to stop it. It's too much. You can't keep up. John Chrysostom said, "As a moth gnaws a garment, so doeth envy consume a man." We have pastors who envy pastors. And they follow all of the pastors they envy. It's so sad. If you're called by God to preach, you better follow God, man. Stop following preachers. That's not what God wants you to do. That's why you're messed up, your family's messed up, you're jacked up, your church is messed up, because you're trying to follow after some other joker who probably does not even know God and not even called to preach. He's a volunteer. And I don't care if you like it or not. That's why you can't get any sleep. That's why you're troubled. Following some joker instead of following God, you're following somebody's blog and got to check in with them before you do anything. Are you kidding me? And you're so filled with envy. Envy drives you, not the Lord, not the mercy of God, not the power of God, not the word of God. Envy. You want to be like somebody else. And you don't have their gifts. You don't have their talent. You need to accept your station in life, dear friend. And thank God for those who God somehow gives them a platform far bigger than yours. And no matter how many millions of people you follow, somebody on Twitter lied to you. If you follow a million people, you have a million people to follow you. That's a lie to hell. Here you are following a million people, and you got three people following you. I don't follow anybody. Nobody. God gave me enough since a long time. I don't follow anybody. If anybody gonna be followed, they're going to follow me. And I don't be trying to keep up. Some of y'all going to die trying to keep original content coming. You kill yourself. You beat your head up against the wall trying to create original content that is not original at all, because there's nothing new under the sun. You just warm it over and tell a few lies in it, and you think it's something new. It's nothing new. It's nothing but a lie, and it's a waste of people's time. And you need to stop doing that. Stop trying to get followers. There are people who have a platform. God gave it to them. Watch me. Read my lips on that. God gave them the platform. You're not going to have a million people to follow you. You will never have that platform. God gave them the platform, and God knows the reason why. And he knows the reason why he did not give you the platform. So just accept who you are and how God made you and how God gifted you. And you do the best you can for the glory of God, and stop envying other preachers and other pastors. Always trying to get with somebody. Always want to be with somebody. I got to get to know him. I want to make him my friend. Lord have mercy. It's sad. It is sad. So sad what's happening in the church today. A man writes something in the blog. 10,000 pastors go and do it the next week and almost tear the church down to the ground. You better follow God, okay? You need to discontinue all your blogs that you subscribe to. You are not to follow any preacher. Don't follow anybody but your pastor. You need to follow anybody. That's my friend. That's my friend. They don't even know you. Nikolai Velimarovich said, and now he's going to get deep here with his envy thing. He's going to get deep real fast. So if you don't pay attention, you're not going to, just like you didn't get his name, you're not going to get what he's saying, okay? So, and by the way, there are some people on this earth who are deeper than you are. And it's a gift from God. Do you hear me? And you need to accept it. God gave them a big brain. And while you're getting up, they've already run across the nation and back. Okay? While you're putting your tennis shoes on. You need to accept and understand the gifts of God, the talents that God give people. There are some people, there are... Oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be like her. There are some people, there are some races that have certain gifts and talents that your race does not have, generally speaking. There are certain families that have certain gifts that your family does not have. My family had two singers in it who can sing and even record it, an album. The Winans family, everybody can sing. The people they marry, they can sing. Why is it all the Clark sisters can sing? Sister Sledge, why all of them? They came out the womb singing. Some of y'all don't know Sister Sledge. Sledge sisters, whatever they call them. We are family. That's back in the day, before I got saved. I have all my sisters with me. I think there's a biopic coming out on them. I don't know. The grandparents can sing. Parents can sing. Children can sing. The grandchildren can sing. And you're jealous because you can't sing. And when you spend thousands of dollars trying to sing, trying to feel. Listen, if you don't have it, you can't do it. So stop wasting time. Stop bothering people. Trying to do something you're not gifted to do. Just listen to the people and enjoy the singing. God gave you another gift. Football players envious of what Deion Sanders did. Deion Sanders was just gifted with multiple gifts. He's so gifted, he's gifted even at commentary on football. There's some people just like that. Don't be envious. Be grateful and thank God for the gifts he gave you. And then what? Watch this. Be mature and thank God for the gifts he gave them. And be happy in Jesus. Be happy. Be content. That's the way to happiness. Be content. There's some folk who are scholarly and you're not. Don't get mad at the scholarly. Use them. Borrow their book and something from their book and put it in your sermon, man, or in your speech, and you'll sound intelligent yourself. Don't be envious. There's some preachers who can preach better than you, preacher. They can just flat. They were born to preach from the womb. The daddy was a preacher. The grandfather was a preacher. They can flat shuck the corn. And it seems like they do it effortlessly. And you got to work real hard at it. Thank God for it. Recognize it. Give God the glory for it. Some people have charisma. You don't. I love everybody. I know some of y'all can get mad. I love Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen can't preach. But I love him. I love everybody. How can you hate Joel Osteen? He can't preach. But he has a certain gift and charisma that people, I don't care for him that much, but there are people who love him and love what he does. He has a charisma about him. Some people hate Oprah. Some people love Oprah. Many people love Oprah. It's a gift. She has a charisma about her. And on we can go. Stop being envious of other people. And there are going to be some so-called stars. They might be wandering stars, but they're stars. And then you see them, you just like them. I'm not a big watcher of Saturday Night Live. But I just heard that Eddie Murphy was going to be on there after 35 years. and he hasn't lost a step. He said that if you had told me 35 years ago that I would be the family man with my, at home with my children and taking care of my 10 children and not wanting to go out and just an old-fashioned family man, if you had told me 35 years ago that I would be doing that and Bill Cosby would be in jail, I would have taken that bet. Because back 35 years ago, Bill Cosby was the big-time family man. People just have gifts and talents given to them by God. And you don't need to get mad about it. You don't need to be envious of it. You do you for the glory of God. Do your thing for the glory of God. What God made you to do. I asked somebody the other day, what is your passion? I have no passion. What? Is there something wrong? I'm afraid of people who don't have a passion. That means that you're going to be too envious. You're going to be envious of other people and envious of me and not conscious of what you need to be doing. And get to the point where you don't even want to help me because you're not doing anything. The best thing to combat envy with is doing something that God wired you to do. So Nikolai said, does anyone envy the leper? Now he's going to get deep, so get your thinking cap on. Does anyone envy the leper? No one envies the leper. Why then do some envy the evil man when evil is a greater sickness than leprosy? Leprosy is a disease of the flesh, but evil is a disease of the soul. A leper can be healthy within while he is unhealthy on the outside. However, the evil man can be healthy on the outside, but his interior is sick. Do you know that all people are sick on the inside, even though they may look beautiful on the outside? And men are just as silly as many women are about that. I think men are worse. Have you ever seen men, you know, well-to-do, strong, powerful men? I'm just bringing this up. It has nothing to do with the message. Got money, got an education. But as soon as a beautiful woman comes, they lose their mind. They get silly real quick. Their mind just melt. Like that, and there are women like that. But anyway, that's free. People can look good on the outside and be sick and dead men's bones on the inside. Ugly on the inside. Oh, yes. That's what you're dealing with, my dear friends, in most cases. The heart is sick. Greater value has a tree that is sick on the outside, but has a healthy core than a tree that is a healthy core on the outside, but has a rotten core on the inside. Allow me to say that to you again. I want you to get that. Greater value has a tree that is sick on the outside, but has a healthy core than a tree that is healthy, on the outside, but has a rotten core. Thus, leprosy is a lesser evil than evil on the inside. That is, than sin. Because under evil, the all-wise one thought of sin as evil. Does the physician envy the sick person? He does not envy him. Neither does the righteous one envy the sinner. If you do not know whether you are righteous, examine your heart. Do you envy the sinner? If you envy the sinner, then you are not righteous. If you do not envy the sinner, then rejoice, O righteous one of God. The sick person can envy the healthy one, but the healthy person does not envy the sick person, neither does the righteous envy the sinner. A physician recognizes a fatal illness of his patient, and knowing that, he pities him, but does not envy him. The righteous one recognizes the sickness of sin, horrifying and deadly, and does not envy the sinner, but pities him. O good and compassionate Lord, uproot envy from our hearts and implant love. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen. Did you get it? He went deep on you. But maybe some of you will catch that by freight. We have one more thing. Here is one more thing we can learn from this passage. And it is actually the third point. We can look forward to eternity. When we are tempted to envy sinners, envy what they have, how is it that they can drive a new car and you can't? How is it that they, wicked as they are, evil as they are, corrupt as they are, in fact, 90% of their riches come from lying and corruption and gangster activity, and they live in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill, and you live in a hut and can hardly pay for that. This has been the situation with God's people since the beginning of time. A long time ago, when I was a young Christian, this is not a popular track today. It's hard to find. But the title of the track was, "They May, But You Cannot." Something to that effect. And basically, the gist of the tract or the pamphlet was that other people might be able to do stuff, but you cannot do it because you're God's child. And that's how it is for the Christian life. See, if listen to me very carefully. For a true Christian, if it's going to be about pulling a charade, that's not happening. If you got to lie on some paperwork to get a certain kind of house, for the true Christian, they're not going to do it. If you got to lie on your credit stuff and to get a nice, fine, shiny car and all of that just to impress people, he's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. They're not going to do it. If it is going into a whole lot of debt over something to buy a car or a house and all of that, they're not going to be interested in that. Some people did it under the prosperity gospel rain, but that rain is, if it's not dead, it's dying. Dave Ramsey is killing it with a knife. Radio show by radio show, book by book. He's helping people to understand what true prosperity is. A true born-again Christian, they're not going to lie to get something. They're not going to cheat to get something. They're not going to lie on their taxes. They'll tell you straight up, no, I ain't lying about nothing now. Back in the day when people said, Yeah, you don't have to have any income information, or you can just put down whatever on your paper to get a house. Real Christians, born again ones, say, no, I ain't doing that. What are you talking about? These people need to know whether or not I have the money to pay this, because we all going to have a problem if they know, they don't know, and I know I don't have the money. One day the wicked will prosper no more. They will receive their punishment in due course. You are not envious of God's wrath poured out on them. So do not be envious of their wealth on earth, in which oftentimes is not wealth at all, it's debt. They're just keeping up images, like so many people in the prosperity gospel, trying to look See, many of these people got caught up in trying to look prosperous and not being truly prosperous. We can look forward to eternity while we're being tempted to envy the prosperity of the wicked. We can look forward to eternity, for one day the wicked will prosper no more. How can you prosper in hell? There's no prosperity in hell, dear friend. Do you remember the rich man? The rich man who had it all. He fared sumptuously every day. But Jesus said he opened up his eyes in hell. Lazarus, who the rich man would not even let have the crumbs that fell from his table, was in paradise. The rich man was burning in hell, and by the way, he's still burning there. Mr. Dives. I guess they call him Mr. Dives because he dived into hell. He went into hell and he's still there. They will receive their punishment in due course. You are not envious of God's wrath poured out on them. So do not be envious of their wealth on earth. Don't want what they want. Let me tell you something. You'll be better off in a one-room apartment, an efficiency apartment, with three or four people living in there with you, one bathroom, and debt-free, or something that you can manage, than to have a trying to keep up with folks and trying to impress people and killing yourself to do so, a big fine house on the corner on Pork Chop Hill that you got to pay and come up with every month $4,000 to pay the note. See, I don't even want something like that on my mind, much less trying to do it. But there are people trying to impress other people, and people who don't even like you, people who will never come to your house in the first place. So it means nothing. If you accept Christ as Savior and live to worship and please Him, then you can expect an eternal reward in heaven, a reward that is infinitely better and richer than the temporary pleasures that sinners enjoy here on earth. I'm here to tell you, if you become born again, repent of your sins. And I'll go ahead and tell you this right now. If you do that, God will begin to tell you, no, don't you go and buy bubble stuff on credit. God will tell you, don't you go into no debt for no house where you got to come up with and then expect me to help you come up with $4,000 a month. And you got to pay taxes $12,000 a year. Don't you do that. Don't you go ahead and buy a car trying to impress somebody. God will tell you this. Worth $60,000. You got to pay $800 a month to drive it. so that you can pull up at the light and somebody who does not know you will look over at your car, and then y'all pull off before they even get a good look, trying to impress people. God will tell you that. And God will also tell you to live a frugal life. Be content with the little that you have. And I'm here to tell you, if you have the basic things you need and you're content, you're rich. The Bible tells you that. You're very rich. If you have no debt, no serious debt, and you love God and God loves you, of course, and you're content, you can sit in your little hut, hear me well, and eat your little beans and rice, and it'll taste so good to you. And let the people who are out here racing and killing themselves, trying to keep up with everybody else at the church, the prosperity church, trying to keep up with all these people who don't care nothing about you, and they're not going to help you pay your bills. They don't even know oftentimes you have a new car. They can care less. They're trying to pay for theirs. So don't get caught up in that, dear child of God. Isaac Watts said, No, I shall envy them no more who grow profanely great, though they increase their golden store and rise to wondrous height. They taste of all of the joys that grow upon this earthly clod. Well, they may search the creature through, for they have never the true God. Shake off the thoughts of dying too, and think your life your own. But death comes hastening on to you to mow your glory down. Yes, you must bow your stately head. Away your spirit flies, and no kind angel near your bed to bear it to the skies. Go now and boast of all your stores, and tell how bright you shine. Your heaps of glittering dust are yours, and my Redeemer's mine. If you, dear friend, struggle with the sin of envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. And some of you will be tempted to this evening, being envious of somebody. But remember this passage and remember this message. Now, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, he suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead, and you believe that in your heart, and pray and call upon his name and ask him to save you, he will save you. This is salvation by the grace of God, not by works, but by his grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Be willing to repent of your old life. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. And he will save your soul. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save your soul. For Romans 10, 9, and 13 says very clearly that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. Joining a church will not save you. Being in the church will not save you. Getting baptized does not save you. Speaking in an unknown tongue does not save you, nor is it necessarily the evidence of your being saved. Shouting and running around the church is not the evidence of your being saved. There are people running around the church who are going to end up running around in hell, because none of that stuff saves your soul. You can be a church member and still die and go to hell. I almost did. So if you want to be saved today, simply believe on Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you. It is as simple as that. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have coveted and lusted after people and things. I have stolen things before. I have lied many times before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe the best way that I know how, on the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of my heart. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell by simple faith in Christ, not by good works, not by being a good person, not by joining a church, not by getting baptized, not by giving money to the church. Simple faith in Christ. All of those things are fine and dandy, but they will not save your soul from hell. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life that God wants you to do, that Christ wants you to do, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior. For Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He paid it all. He did it all. Not you, not me. He did. And so he should receive all the glory, praise, and honor. That's the reason why we honor him during the Christmas season and the Easter season. Because he died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.